speak, hopefully for not very long. I'm going to try in the future to speak for a shorter period of time. I can hear people already thinking, thank you, Jesus. But what is long and what is short? These things are subject to interpretation and culture. But I'd like, first of all, to watch a little movie clip. Many of you will know I really like movies. This particular clip is from a movie that I would strongly recommend that you see if you haven't already seen it. But in my family, a recommendation from me means virtually nothing. Because people in my family think I have such appalling taste in movies. But just to give a bit of a background to this clip, it's a film starring Denzel Washington called Deja Vu. It's a science fiction film, and I just need to give a bit of an explanation about the plot. Basically, there's a terrible crime committed, and many people are killed. And there's this technology where basically there's a limited ability to see back in time 4 days earlier. And the people are trying to basically solve the crime. They're trying to work out who did this terrible thing. But Denzel Washington, as a local policeman, feels a connection. So he sees 4 days back in time. He sees this particular woman who is a victim of the crime. And she's dead. And he feels connected with her. And although the technology is meant not to work, at the risk of his own life, he finds a way to project himself back 4 days. And basically he's trying to save her. And so in this film, there's a particular scene. I couldn't get it ready in time today, but there's a particular two scenes in this film. It's complicated because of the plot, because it's science fiction. But basically, at one part of the film, he is effectively from the future, trying to tell something to the woman. And later in the film, effectively, she's from the future and he's from the past. And she is trying to tell him the same thing. The things are switched. And it kind of has relevance to what I'm going to say, but mainly I'm sharing it because I really like films and it's a good movie and you should watch it. So here's the clip. Who could dim the light? It's an important thing in the world that you had to tell somebody, but you knew they would never believe it. And he says, I'd try. And earlier in the film, that's exactly what he says to her when he knows a secret that she doesn't know. And he says to her earlier in the film, what would you do if there was a truth and it was the most important truth in the world and you had to tell somebody, but you knew they would never believe it? And she says to him, I would try. Well, I'm actually going to try to tell a truth today, and some of you believe it and some of you don't. But I'm going to try. And the reason why that clip means so much to me is actually, I think, it's a kind of picture for what being a Christian really should be about. And what being a disciple of Jesus should be about. And what Jesus told Christians to do, which is to follow him and help other people become followers of Jesus. That we actually have a secret that is the most important truth in the whole world. And there are people who really need to hear that truth, but we kind of know, or we think we know, that even if we try to tell people that truth, they're never going to believe me. So what do we do? And what God wants to say to you is he'd like you to try. Because it's really important. So I'm going to speak today about adoption. Mary, the Holy Spirit's assistant in my household, said to me the other day, I had an idea of what I was going to maybe say, and she asked me just a general question, what are you going to do? And I went, blah, 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 whatever I said. And she said, well, since Olivia's been dedicated, and Olivia's just recently been adopted, don't you think it would be a good idea to say something about adoption? And I thought, well, that's a really good idea, so we'll do that. And it kind of fitted in with what I wanted to say. So this talk is headed, it's called Adoption, the Gospel. And on the slide, I just have a little credit for an image that I'm using in the slides. It's an image called Loving Hands by someone called DJ Murasaki. I just thought, since I was stealing it from the web and I was given permission to see that, provided I credited the picture, I thought I would. So there you are. So next slide. Adoption, the Gospel. So what is the Gospel? I've already said to you, what the subject of today is, adoption, the Gospel. So there's a kind of clue in that title that I'm going to try to say there's a strong connection between the Gospel and adoption. But if, like in the movie clip we've just seen, if you could go back in time before I just started speaking this morning, and I could talk to you about what you thought the gospel was, I'd suggest that for most of us, adoption is not the first word that would come to mind. We could come up with all kinds of answers for how we would sum up the gospel, and none of them would be wrong answers. None of them would be wrong answers. But most of us, most of the time, I'd suggest, would not rush to say that the way we would define the gospel is that it's adoption. And yet that's what I want to look at fairly quickly today. And there's a guy called J.I. Packer. Some of you have heard of J.I. Packer. That's a little image of J.I. Packer. He's a theologian. He was born in the UK. He moved over to Canada. He's quite famous. He's probably most famous, next slide, for writing a book called Knowing God. That's probably his most famous book. And in that book, there is a quote. It's a bit of a mind-blowing quote, but I'm going to give it to you. Next slide, please. He says this. Were I asked to focus the New Testament message in three words, my proposal would be adoption through propitiation. Sorry, he didn't whistle. And I do not expect ever to meet a richer or more pregnant summary of the gospel than that. Now, propitiation is a pretty big word. Basically, that's a big word for saying that Jesus has done it. There's an important thing that needed to be done, and Jesus did it. Jesus made the way. Jesus opened the way for us. Jesus was the sacrifice. There was a sacrifice necessary. Jesus was the sacrifice in our place. He stood in our place for us so that the way could be opened. That's kind of what propitiation means. But the other key part of those three words is adoption. So G.I. Packer is saying the best possible way I could sum up the whole of the New Testament is by talking about adoption through propitiation. And I think that's quite deep and quite profound, because most of us probably wouldn't say that. We come up with other things which are true, other things which are good, but we probably wouldn't say that. So I wonder why. And what has J.I. Packer seen that I haven't seen or we haven't seen? So today we've been celebrating an adoption. But fundamentally today, in everything that we've been doing, the songs that we've been singing, everything that we're trying to do and say and speak about today, we're celebrating really not just Olivia's adoption and Olivia's dedication, but for those of us who would call ourselves followers of Jesus, we're celebrating our adoption. So Gary, did you know that today we're celebrating your adoption? No, you didn't. But do you know that now? And may you know it even more. So did I know today that I was celebrating my adoption? We're celebrating adoptions today. You know, it's great that we have the focus on Olivia and that beautiful family, and that's a great focus. But actually what I'd want to turn it round to is each one of us and say, well, I'm adopted. If I said yes to Jesus, I'm adopted. Isn't that amazing? Do I know it's amazing? How amazing is it? Do I know how amazing it is? Am I living like it's really amazing, etc.? Thank you, Gary. God bless you. Next passage. So we're going to look at a couple of passages. I'm sorry if this is hard to read, but as you know, you are allowed to bring Bibles to church, and some of you have mobile devices you can read from. Galatians chapter 4, starting at verse 4. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. It says this. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Now that's quite a famous passage. It's a very well-known passage. And it's a very important passage. It's saying something. If you've said yes to Jesus, or if you think you might at some stage in the future say yes to Jesus, it's saying something very important about what happens, whether you feel it or not. Whether you understand it or not, this is what God has done. And it says, we become God's children. God sends his Spirit into our hearts, And that spirit prompts us to call out Abba Father. And Abba is an Aramaic word. It's difficult to translate, but basically for us it would be something like dad or papa or daddy. For me, the word I would identify most with is daddy. Now nobody has to answer out loud. But especially for people in the room who would say they're Christians, what is your experience of when you think about God, when you talk to God, when you pray to God, of calling God daddy? Now I know some of you. I know some of you really well. I'm not looking for answers out loud. But I would suggest it's probably true that for some of us we'd fairly easily say, yes, God is my daddy. And some of us would say, I'm not sure I really know that, or I have problems with that. And yet the Bible says that is the fact for everybody who says yes to Jesus. That's one of the reasons why J.I. Packer was saying, if I was summing up the whole of the New Testament, this is fundamentally it. We get to be adopted into his family. Now here's the thing, if that isn't your experience, the problem isn't with God. The problem isn't with God. If you think, oh well, some people tend to talk about God as daddy, that's nice for them. You know, maybe they've got a personality that makes them, it's easier for them to talk like that. Or maybe they've had a set of life experiences that mean they've not been affected in the way I have, and that's just difficult for me. That's okay. But God, it's like with my phone. My phone is receiving a signal at the moment. The signal is coming from out there, and it's coming into my phone. God has sent his spirit into each one of us. It's the same spirit. It's the same signal that goes into each one of us. But the place it goes into, according to Galatians, is our hearts. And the heart is like my phone. The phone is what receives the signal. If I don't speak out that God is my daddy, that's not because I'm receiving a different signal to someone who is calling God daddy. The issue is in my receiving equipment, my heart. That's where the challenge can be. So that's kind of an issue I'm going to look at a little bit today. So if we're Christians, we should find ourselves related to God in an intimate way. We should find ourselves able, quite naturally, to talk to God and call him dad, papa, daddy, or something similar. And if we don't, the issue is not with God. The issue is with me. And there is an issue that we should look at there, because as J.I. Packer tells us, this is the heart of the gospel. So it's not some kind of optional add-on for people who like to think about God as Father. This is the heart of the New Testament message. Now the problem is, I think there are many reasons why we might have a problem with this. And I'm going to look at two main reasons. The first is that our own fathers on planet Earth get in the way. You know, we might have a father who wasn't very good. We might have a father who was absent. We might have a father who we never knew. That can be an issue. And the other big reason, there are many reasons potentially, but the other big reason is that when we come to think about God, it's very easy to be religious. It's very easy to think about a relationship with God as not really a relationship at all, but a kind of transaction where he's got some rules. He's actually quite unreasonable. He's got all sorts of rules. They're almost impossible rules to satisfy. But for me to ever get anywhere close to him, I have to satisfy a lot of rules before I can be close to him. And that's religion. So our receiving equipment, our hearts, could be messed up because of our experience of our own fathers on planet Earth, and or because of a religious attitude. We think dealing with God is about religion. It's not. It's about the relationship. Let's look at the next passage. These are some words from Jesus, John chapter 14, starting at verse 17. He's talking about the Holy Spirit who's going to come. He says this: he's the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. So Jesus says to his people, I will not abandon you as orphans. And really when Jesus is saying that to his people, he's speaking for himself as the Son of God, and he's also speaking the words of his Father. So really, God the Father is saying to us, I will not abandon you as orphans. So I might, because of problems with my receiving equipment, with my heart, I might have issues because of stuff in my history with my own dad. I might have issues in my receiving equipment in my heart because of religious ideas I've got about what God is like. I might have other issues. But God is saying to us, he will not abandon us as orphans. His heart is that we would know that we are home. Now, I just had a slightly crazy thought a few minutes ago. I hesitate to share this, but I'm going to. I don't want to touch anybody's wounds or scars that might be very painful. But recently I have accidentally been preaching a series of sermons which have no connection apart from the fact that they all have headings which are song titles. And I've realised I could have had a song title for this one. And it goes something like this. It's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming. The gospel's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming. The gospel's coming. I had to share that. So, to paraphrase J.I. Packer, the gospel is coming home. The gospel is, when you really embrace the heart of the gospel, you know that you're home. You could have been a Christian for 10 minutes or 30 years. And believe me, I know from experience it's true. I was a Christian for quite a long time before the penny really began to drop. The gospel is really about coming home. Coming home to dad. Coming home to daddy. That's the heart of the gospel. And when you get that, it makes it all the more difficult to be confronted by someone you care about who doesn't know that. And to not bother to even try to tell them. And that's why I shared the movie clip. What if you knew a truth that was the most important truth in the world and you knew the other person wouldn't believe you? What would you do? You'd try. You try. Next passage, almost done. John chapter 17. This is part of Jesus' amazing prayer just before he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he was arrested and tortured and crucified. This is part of what he prayed. Well, I'm having trouble reading this. I'm praying not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will ever believe in me through their message. So if you've said yes to Jesus, that includes you. He's praying for you. If you haven't yet said to Jesus, but you're about to, he's praying for you. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I'm in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I've given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Now, I've spoken about this a few times, so a lot of you will have heard this. But this is an incredible strategy for reaching the world. And it's to do with oneness. It's to do with unity. I don't believe that unity is primarily different church organisations merging in a formal way so that everybody becomes one organisation. Although I think churches working together is very, very good. I think that oneness is primarily us connecting with God and being one with him. and also getting ourselves healed up so that we are kind of one, so that we're not split into bits, so that we are together. But here's the thing from Jesus' prayer. His key thing, his key strategy for the world knowing who God is that the world will look at us, for us as Christians, the world will look at us, and when it looks at us, the conclusion the world will draw will be, those people are loved by God just as much as God loved Jesus. Well, if the world is going to look at me and think, wow, God loves Brian as much as God loves Jesus, if that's ever going to be true, one of the things that's got to happen is that I suggest got to know that I'm loved. I've got to know that I'm loved. I've got to know that I'm not just satisfying a set of rules. I'm not just being a relatively good boy some of the time compared to the very bad boy I was before. I've got to know that I'm loved. I've got to know that I'm home. I've got to know that the God in heaven who loves me really loves me, and that he's my dad. And I've been adopted into his family. Does that make sense? So for the world to be able to see us and say, wow, God loves those Christians as much as he loves Jesus, then we as Christians, we need to be living in a reality of the fact that we've come home. And I don't often hear that as a strategy for evangelism. And yet that seems to be the heart of it from Jesus' prayer. That the world will say, those people are loved. Those people know that they're loved. So I'd recommend that we pay attention to that as a personal strategy and as a church family. Well, I've only got two sides of notes, and it was 1.5 sides, and I'm on the final third. So for me, we're doing really, really well. Now, if you don't at the moment count yourself as a Christian, or you've had some experience of Christianity, but now you would say, that's kind of on the back burner. I have an apology to make. It's an apology personally, and it's an apology basically on behalf of all the other Christians in this room and all Christians in the entire world that you've ever encountered. And it's a genuine apology that I'm really sorry for any times when you've looked at any Christians and you've been able to draw a conclusion which is different from, well, they're loved by God in the same way that Jesus was loved. I'm genuinely sorry for that. Because that means that as a Christian community, to you, we have misrepresented what God is really like. We've presented you a picture of faith, of life in God, of being a follower of Jesus. We've presented a picture that is not an accurate, fair picture of who God really is. Because he is the Father God who so loved the world that he sent his only Son. That anybody who wanted in could be in. That's my paraphrase of John chapter 3 verse 16. So I'm sorry on behalf of the church if we have given you a picture of God which is not the accurate picture. But please don't judge God because of the poor job that we as Christians might have done. Don't dismiss God because the church hasn't necessarily done a great job of living up to who and what the church really is. You know, forgive us, get over it, and be right with God, because he's worth getting to know. Now, in our culture here, I did a bit of research, and I thought everything was going to be straightforward, but quite often when I do research, I find things aren't straightforward. The whole adoption thing is quite a complicated, interesting thing when you research what the Bible has to say. But what is absolutely clear from that passage in Galatians 4 that we started with is that the writer, the Apostle Paul, is saying that when you believe, you are adopted into God's family. You do become one of his children. And that is true. It was true then and it's true today. in this culture where we are at the moment, adoption can have a bit of a negative side to it. Now, we've been celebrating Olivia's dedication today. We've been celebrating the fact that she's come through the whole process that she's been through and she's now been adopted. But the fact that there ever was an adoption, we can be aware of, oh, well, why was there an adoption? You know, what were the circumstances that led to the adoption? And we can maybe think, maybe adoption isn't such a great thing to celebrate. But the reality is for us in relation to God, we all start off a long way from home. Whatever our life story is, whether we would say we've had a difficult life or quite a privileged life, we all start off a long way from home. And Daddy God wants us all to come home. He wants us to come home. And that is only good news. You know, we don't have to focus on anything negative about that. The fact is we've all been a long way from home and he wants us all to come back. He wants us all to come back. Jesus called himself the way, the truth and the life. And he described himself as the way to the Father. And he's inviting all of us to come home. So last slide, please. So I am concluding, and I'm not even lying. I really am concluding. There are two passages there. Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. If you are already a follower of Jesus, Jesus is commanding you, authorizing you, as you go around the world, to make disciples. To be like the guy in the movie clip and be prepared to share the truth, the most important truth in the world, even if you think no one's ever going to believe me. The fact is some people will. And the truth, it's worth making the effort to try and make disciples, to try and get people over that step of faith they need to make. It's worth it because those people are worth it. And if you're in a position at the moment where you would say, I'm not a Christian, or, you know, I maybe was once, but I'm not now, I'm not going to create any kind of false pressure for you, but I just want you to know that you are worth it. You are not just another name on the list. Every one of you matters to God. And the commission Jesus gives everyone who calls themselves a Christian is to share the gospel, because it really is the gospel. It really is good news. If you're not already with him, he wants you back. He wants you to come home. He would like to adopt you today. He would like the adoption process to begin and end and be done. Mauricio Sabadi's process with Olivia was quick, but God's adoption process can be super quick. It might have taken the whole of your life up until now, which is not so quick. But the actual process, it can be super quick. And the final passage from 1 John chapter 3. This is written by the Apostle John. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. So, as I'm closing down, I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to invite you to consider that prayer. Then we're going to open up communion. And for people who want to take communion, they can. Basically, what sort of response am I looking for? If you are a Christian and you know that you're not really living in the reality of God being your daddy, I'd encourage you to take some kind of step, even today, to say, Daddy God, even though I can't really call you that, I want to be able to call you that and mean it. Will you help deal with my receiving equipment, with my heart? Will you help me receive the signal loud and clear, so that as your spirit is being poured into me, your spirit of sonship, I am actually able to say, Abba, Father. And there could be a breakthrough in a moment. That breakthrough might take a little bit of time. But I'd encourage you to take seriously this subject, because I agree with J.I. Packer. It is the heart of the New Testament. It is the gospel. Us actually knowing that God is our daddy, our father, our papa. And if you're not a Christian, well, wow, I'd really love you to say yes to him today. I'm not going to embarrass anybody or get anybody to put up any hands. But I'm going to say a prayer, which is basically a prayer of saying, I want to make that decision today. I'm coming home. And if as I'm praying, if when I've prayed that, you feel, yeah, that's for me. I want that today. That I'd encourage you today to find me or someone else and just say, look, I agree with that prayer. I want that process. I want to know that process has begun today. And I'd love you to do that. I'd love you to do that primarily because you matter. Because you're like that person in the movie clip. There's an amazing truth that is vitally important for you. You didn't know that truth, but you could begin to really know that truth today. So I'd encourage you to take that step. We're going to break bread. The band is going to play. Ollie's part of the band is going to play. We're going to break bread. So breaking bread, it's for people who have said yes to Jesus. Anybody is welcome to come and break bread. You can come on your own. You can come in a couple. You can come in a group. You can have the bread and wine there, or you can take it away somewhere else. You can come more than once, but you don't have to come. And if you don't feel that you've yet made the decision to follow Jesus, don't feel any embarrassment about not coming. While some people are sharing bread and wine, if you want to come and ask for prayer, you might have physical healing that you'd like prayer for. You might like to respond in some way to what you've seen or heard this morning, or you might want prayer for anything else. There'll be a space out here where you can come and ask for prayer, or you can find a friendly face where you're sitting. If you can find a friendly face where you're sitting, and you can ask somebody to pray for you. We're not going to announce an official end to the meeting. We're going to take time for people to break bread and be prayed for. There will be some worship that's being played. As and when you feel, whatever business you feel you want to do in this room, take as long as you like. As and when you feel that you're done, please stay. There are all kinds of refreshments are going to be available. But first of all, we're going to ask you to move out to the foyer. And then I think there's is there food and drink that's happening in here? But first of all, please move to the foyer. And then when everything's finished in here, other food-related activities will take place in here. But this is kind of the end, but not the end. So I'm going to pray a prayer. Jonathan, are you going to come and play? So I'm going to pray a prayer, which will be a prayer really saying to God, I want to come home. And if that registers with you, if you want to say, that's my prayer as well, find someone today and tell them, okay? So Father God, thank you that you are such a loving Heavenly Father. I thank you that you are real. I thank you that you care for me. And God, I don't totally understand everything about you, but I do know that you sent Jesus, that Jesus really lived, that he really died. His death wasn't an accident. And in his death and resurrection, he opened up a way for me to come back to my Father. And Father God, I want to say yes to you today. Jesus, Son of God, I want to say yes to you today. Holy Spirit, I want to say yes to that pouring in of you into my heart so that I can say, Abba, Father. Father God, Jesus, Son of God, Holy Spirit, I want to be adopted by you today. I want to make you the head of my life. I thank you, Jesus, that you died for me, that you dealt with my sins. I'm sorry for my sins, and I say yes to you. From this day forward, dear God, I want to call myself a follower of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Please take your time as you respond, and have a great day. And don't forget, the gospel is coming home. Amen.